Welcome to another edition of the Burrito Radio Show. We introduce a new program titled Boxing is Life, brought to you by the fictional character Baba Zande. Now, this first program we're going to bring to you is we're going to talk about the top 20 fights according to Baba Zande's list. So be sure to listen to all the action as we get to number one. Enjoy the program. Yeah, you're listening to the Burrito Radio Show. This is a new program we have going on here. We're going to try to do it once every 2 weeks. If we can get it once a week, that'd be great. It's called Boxing is Life, brought to you by Baba Zande. Baba Zande is a very interesting character. He's like has an interesting life that he's led. And it's going to be interesting to hear from the fight fans, the feedback, what Baba Zande has to say. We're going to start out this first segment about the top 20 fights on Baba Zande's list of his list of the best fights of all time, the best boxing matches. But in the meantime, Baba Zande, please introduce yourself.
This is Baba Zande, and I want to thank you, 2B1 Energy, for having me on the show to speak about something that's near and dear to me, which is the fight game, something I've given myself to physically, spiritually, and mentally for the balance of my life. So my favorite topic. So I appreciate the opportunity.
And so, give us a little background about yourself, please. Give us a little background.
Well, I came to the States as a very young man. My parents came in from Cameroon. And if you can imagine coming to a strange place, and you look like the people around you, but you know you're different, and they know they're different. So, I got bullied somewhat. You know, I got teased. The way I spoke, the way I dressed, the customs that were familiar to me. So, I ended up taking up boxing. At about 10 years old. And I just continued into it because as I continued to fight and continued to learn more, I continued to get something from it, and it built me up, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. So I followed it. I continued on. I was fairly good. I was fairly good in the game physically. I made some noise. I thought that I might qualify for the Olympics, but I think that, you know, not having a name, the game is just like any other games. You know, if you don't have the right sponsorship, you know, you're not going to go as far. You know, you take any sport, basketball or anything. There's people, you know, in the streets, in the world that can do it as well as the people that you see on TV, but they don't have the same sponsorship. So,
You've been boxing for and now you say you're training now? You're training others or you're training yourself for a comeback? I don't get it.
No. I'm not. I'm training others, but that's after my. I fought a few pro fights. 12 of those, won 10. Once I got knocked out of that game due to injury, I ended up training youth and just following the game because it's something that lifted me, and it continues to lift me physically, spiritually, and mentally. So that's where I'm with it. I've been following it my entire life. I've been watching it. I've been living it. I've been feeling it. Boxing is life. So this is my thing.
How long have you been doing these lists? How long have you been doing these kind of lists and kind of evaluation of all these stats that you have and analysis? How long have you been doing that?
Well, at least 20 years, but, you know, it changes as, you know, they get more technology now. There's, spreadsheets and other things that I can use as I get used to the technology. So at first, you know, it's writing on a piece of paper, and then it just it continues to grow and grow and grow until it became something where I'm really analytical and objective with it, because when you talk fights, there's a lot of different ways you can go. So as I looked at the list of fighters that inspired me, I have a list of Hall of Fame fighters by division and pound for pound. I have fights. I have about 600 or 700 fights on DVD that I watch regularly to get inspired. And the thing with fights is it's not like watching, I think, football, basketball. I mean, once you watch a football, basketball game, you know what happened. That's it. There's no need to go back and watch it anymore. But you watch a fight, you get something different from it every time. Every time you see something a different move or a different strategy, you might look at a fight and think a different person won the fight after you look at it 3 or 4 or 5 times. So it's just something I study. It's how I live. So that doesn't qualify me as an expert, but it qualifies me to debate anyone on these fights or these fighters and what they mean. And I enjoy those discussions.
Right. And before we get started on this top 20 list, what do you mean by boxing is life? What does that actually mean to you?
What I mean is that the principles that make you a successful fighter make you successful in life. The principles of training and sparring and having a hype man and learning from your fights, all of that makes you successful in life. It's the same formula. You know, getting knocked down, getting up. I know there's I have quotes also that I use to inspire me.
Let's hold up on the quotes. I don't want to veer off too much. But I tell you what, let's get right to the list. And it's the top 20 best all-time fights, correct?
Okay. Let me go. It's the top 20 fights in my lifetime. I don't have videos of older fights. For example, you know, Jack Johnson, Joe Louis, Sugar Ray Robinson. So, you know, I want to have seen the fight. Now, I can read about the fight, but these are the top 20 fights I've seen in my lifetime. So I would
you're
say...
About, you're talking about you've seen, or you're talking about as far as, like, they're legendary?
They're legendary. I would say from the 60s on. Let's call it the top 20.
What are you talking about? We're talking about the era of television, meaning like the 40s and 50s?
Well, I don't want to go back that far. Let's say the top 20 fights of the past 50 years. How about that?
50 years? So that we're talking about 70s. Yeah. Not even talking about the 60s?
Well, in the 60s, it wasn't as... and those fights were, you know, and I could speak to them, but really, to really have a good, solid opinion to debate, I have to have seen the fight and felt the fight. So I'm not saying that there was no qualifying fights before that, but I'm looking at the fights, you know, really in my lifetime. Because, you know, I'd love to go back to the 60s because, you know, Ali fought, you know, Ali beat, you know, Liston, you know, in the 60s, you know, and those fights were critical too.
And that was a great fight. You don't consider that a great fight there, Baba Zande?
Yeah, it was a great fight, but quite frankly, if I was looking at my top 20, you know, my criteria is not only the quality of the fighters, but the magnitude of the event, the competitive nature of the fight, overall two-way action, and the impact of the fight on the course of history. So if I look at Ali versus Liston, I would say, yeah, it's a memorable fight, but it wasn't a very competitive fight. It was a significant in that it ended the reign of Sonny Liston, who was thought to be unbeatable. But there was no overall two-way action in the fight. And the fact that it launched the career of the greatest fighter to ever live pound for pound, it was significant in that way. But it wouldn't crack the top 20. It was a great fight, though.
Well, I think you might have some arguments from some fight fans out there. I think the fight fans would kind of disagree with you on that one.
You'd have to see what is my top 20 first before you say that that fight belongs in it.
I tell you what, let's do this. We're going to take a short break and we're going to come back with this top 20 list that you have here. And we'll see what the people have to say on their comments if they decide to comment about it. But we'll see what you list. We'll take a short break. We got Baba Zande, folks, on the Burrito Radio Show.
Mm-hmm. having troubles with your electronic products, including your cell phone, or maybe it's your laptop? Well, the Nerd Repair Center, located on El Cajon Boulevard, can help you out. Give them a call at 619-363-4210. They're located at 3829 El Cajon Boulevard. Their hours of operation are Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay, we're back with Baba Zande, a former fighter. What was your record again, Zande? What was your record?
10-2. 10-2 is a professional.
10-2. All right. Okay, so let's get started with this list. This is his list of top 20. Who do you have at number 20? What fight do you have?
Okay, number 20. As I said last segment, the way I tried to break it down was how many... What was the competitive nature? Well, how exciting was it? What was the magnitude? The quality of the fighters was very important. The overall two-way action and the impact of the fight in the course of history. So when I look at everything, and there's lots of great fights out there, lots of great fighters. But number 20 on my list comes from 1989. It was Roberto Duran with a 12-round decision over Iran Barkley. Let me tell you why. The Blade is a tremendous puncher. I'm talking about Iran Barkley, right? He had knocked out Tommy Hearns twice. So Duran is 37, and he had got stretched by Tommy in two rounds. So people thought 37-year-old Duran coming from lightweight, there was no way that he should take this fight. And he's a 3-1 underdog. And both were brilliant. Barkley thought he was going to stretch him out fast. Didn't happen. Duran was slick, counterpunching, working his way inside. Barkley's still boxing beautifully. He's the bigger man. He's the younger man. But Duran rolled with his punches. He took the bombs, which, you know, if you go back and look at this fight, you see how big Barkley is. But he stuck to his plan. Duran looks like he's starting to fade in 7-8. But then the older fighter comes back, and he floors Barkley in the 11th. Barkley gets up, fights back hard, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Duran outfights him. It's surprising. It's a split decision. I think that in the hands of Stone, fantastic career. It's the best fight I've ever seen him take at age 37. I scored the fight 114-113 for Duran. Rounds 4, 5, 7, and 8 are rounds you got to watch. But because of everything that I said, I think that's the 20th best fight of the last 50 years.
Well, that one sounds like it should be like number 17 or something like that. In the meantime, So Duran won the fight?
Duran won the fight by split decision.
And, what year was that?
1989.
Who do you have number 19?
Number 19 is a fight that should be familiar to all fight fans. It would have been higher on the list if there were more rounds fought, but it was the marvelous one, marvelous Marvin Hagler, K.O.N. Thomas Hearns in 3. Now, again, if there's more rounds, that fight goes higher because those first two rounds might be the two of the best rounds in boxing history. Hagler comes out to destroy Hearns in the first minute, but he gets caught. He gets stunned by Tommy, and the rest of round one is just bombs away. Both warriors just bombing each other. Hearns ended up breaking his hand, and he tried to box in the second, but his legs were already going from that first round. And as the second round ends, he's getting rocked on the ropes. So you can kind of sense where it was going. But start the third round, they checked the marvelous one for a cut. Marvin thinks they're going to stop the fight, so he steps on the gas, catches Hearns with a lunging right, and that just drains all the fight from Tommy, and he can't beat the count. This was the fight of the year.
I know you like to ramble a little bit, but I think a lot of experts have this one like in the top, at least top 10. You put this at number 19?
I put it at number 19.
All right, hold on, let's go. Let's move on. Number 18, what do you got?
Let me tell you why.
No. Let's move on. Number 18. We got a lot to go.
Number 18 because there's only two rounds of action. And the other fights have more.
It's okay. We'll let the fans decide. Number 18.
Number 18. Two great heavyweights, Hall of Fame heavyweights in 1978. One was the start. It was Larry Holmes with the split decision over Ken Norton. This is the first time Larry Holmes won the title. There's the two of them fighting for the championship that Ali has vacated. So the fight progresses, and they're just going back and forth the entire fight. And Norton keeps coming forward. Holmes is jabbing hard to the head. And Holmes is defensive. The fight is even after 10. This is an era 15-round fights. But Holmes takes control of the 13th. He nearly stops Norton. And in the last round, 15, they go toe-to-toe for the whole last 3 minutes. Holmes gets a split decision. It's the toughest fight of his career. He never has a fight tougher. That's number 18.
Number 17.
Rounds 9, 13, and 15. Watch, though. 17.
Okay, number seven.
Know these two warriors, but it's from 1977. Matthew Saad Muhammad and Marvin Johnson, light heavyweights. Two warriors going toe to toe. Johnson, merciless combinations. Muhammad, tough, hard counterpunching and toughness. Johnson is in command through 9, but he gets tired. And as round 11 ends, Muhammad puts him completely out in the 12th. It's the greatest light heavyweight fight I've ever seen. Rounds 2, 3, 10, and 11, keepers.
Nice. Okay, number 16.
Number 16. These two fought, you heard of trilogies, right? These two fought 4 times. Israel Vaquez and Rafael Marquez, Juan Manuel's brother. His lesser known brother, number 16.
So, right?
Right. This was in 2008. Again, 4 rounds that just are crazy. Opening bell, this fight was picking off where the second fight, this is the third time they have fought. One time, one guy won in 7. The next time, another guy won in 7. This fight, they both just went after each other with reckless abandon. There was no filling out round. 12 full rounds, toe to toe, punishing shots the entire way. No clinches, not one dull round. Now, Marquez wins the early rounds with his powerful jab and combination, but Vasquez starts to win more rounds late with his punches that have Marquez in trouble a few times, and they ended this fight looking like, both ended it looking like they had been in car wrecks. Marquez couldn't see out of his left eye. Vasquez's entire face was swollen to twice its size. I scored the fight 113-112 for Marquez.
Okay, how about number... Number 15, what do you got for us, Baba Zande?
15, Bobby Chacon.
Hold on, did you say Bobby Chacon?
I said Bobby Chacon.
That's what I'm just saying, you said Bobby Chacon.
I said Bobby Chacon.
All right, go ahead.
15 round decision over Bazooka Limon. This was super featherweight. Both of these guys, ultra tough. Again, brutalizing each other. Both Hall of Famers. Wait, Bazooka's not a Hall of Famer, but maybe he should be. Lost a lot of fights. He's a real tough guy. If Gotti can get in.
Bazooka from? Where was he at? Where was he from?
Bazooka's from Mexico. But this was, you know, all punching, no defense for 15 rounds. Chacon is trying to win the title in his 4th try. Chacon is a TV fighter. So he fought a lot on TV, but every time he stepped up to try to win the title, somebody better, like Cornelius Boza Edwards or somebody else, took him out. But in his 4th try against the Bazooka, he finally wins the decision. This was the fight of the year for Ring Magazine in 1982. That's number 15. All of these fights are guaranteed. You will not want to stop watching if you see these first fights.
Before Baba Zande, before we go on break, 15 rounds, that... What year was this fight?
1982.
So this is one of the last fights of where they did 15 rounds. 15 yes. rounds. So it's more like an icon fight, where it's iconic.
It was. It was more of the magnitude of the event. It was more the popularity of Bobby Chacon. It was a huge fight because of its popularity, but the two-way action was crazy.
Well, you're saying that Bobby Chacon fight is more higher ranked than the Hagler-Hearns fight. Interesting. We're going to take a short pause real quick there, Baba Zande. We got Baba Zande on Boxing is Life program. We'll be right back after these messages. 2v1 has a game called None is Perfect Billiards. It is a game based on points, stroke play, pretty much. You get to find out what your score would be in comparison to the pros. It's one of the better games that's out there, and it's new and fresh for the 21st century. If you'd like to be on the players list or participate in one of the games or videos, contact None is Perfect Billiards at nipbilliards@gmail.com. Get on the players list and take part in the fun today. Yes, we're back with Baba Zande, the man from Cameroon. Actually, I was raised out here, in this area. You were raised in Southern California there?
I was raised in Southern California, but my parents were born in Cameroon.
All right. Which gym did you fight out? You fought out Archie Moore's gym?
I fought out of Archie Moore's gym. He had gyms all over. Back then it was in the boys club. And I had the honor of, he came in once, and it was one of the great moments of my life.
Nice. And he was definitely a great fighter, the Monger Show. Okay, so back to this list. Okay, we're on number 14. Baba Zande, who you got for number 14?
On number 14, we have the beginning of the real deal. Evander Holyfield with a split decision over Dwight Muhammad Quaye. You remember Holyfield is an Olympian, he's coming up. I think he only had about 11 fights, and Quaye was a real reformed prison bully. Went nose-to-nose for 15 rounds. Holyfield had to take some to get some. Best cruiserweight fight of all time. Holyfield learned his lessons well, and he bombed out Quaye in four in a rematch. But this fight, split decision for the real deal.
Right, so, my question is, is this one of Holyfield's first signature fights to put him on superstar status, or was he already a superstar?
No. Well, he was a superstar in that he came from the Olympics, but remember in the Olympics, he only got the bronze medal. But they moved him fast when he turned pro. So that's another life lesson. You know, if you got the talent, you don't have to wait for people. You just go get it. That's what Holyfield did. He went and got it.
Yeah, but you didn't answer my question. Is this one of his fights that took him to stardom already, or was he already a superstar already?
I did answer your question, 2v1. I said he was an Olympic bronze medalist. This is his first title fight.
So it is his first like signature fight, right? This is like the one that put him on superstar status.
That's what I said.
Got it. Okay, number 13, what do we have?
Number 13, we go back to the real deal. 6 years later, versus Riddick Bowe. Now, by now, Evander is the heavyweight champion, but he's been fighting older fighters like George Foreman, Larry Holmes. This is a chance. It's his fourth title defense against a 25-year-old undefeated in the best shape of his career, bigger, younger, stronger Riddick Bowe. Early on, they both put it on display, but it's obvious early that Riddick is a little too big and a little too fast, but Evander keeps coming. In the 10th round, is unbelievable. Bowe has a 30-pound weight advantage, but Holyfield keeps coming. Even though he's almost knocked out, he comes back and almost knocks Bowe out in the classic 10th round. But that courage can't save him, because in the 12th, he got dropped, and that probably cost him the decision. But rounds 2, 3, and 10, the fact that Riddick Bowe, we thought that he was gonna be the next big thing, and that Evander showed so much courage against someone 30 pounds heavier, made that number 13 on the list.
Just because Evander was lighter.
He was smaller, but this was only the beginning for the real deal. He's going to win the heavyweight title back twice more. So
I'm not going to lie, Baba Zande. I don't know if this one should be as higher than the Hagler Hearns. But let's move on to number 12. Number 12.
We have to talk about why, and Hagler Hearns is a great fight. Let's move on to
12. Nope. You're a little nigga for the fight fans. Number 12.
Number 12. Again, now this one is based on the two, when you got two Hall of Famers going at each other when they're young, and it's a great fight, this has to make the list. So it's number 12, call it the Dirty Dozen. It's Manny Pacquiao with a 10th round knockout over Eric Morales in 2006. Morales is leading early, Pacquiao takes control, a second half barrage is relentless, the first knockdown of Eric Morales' career, the first stoppage of his career. He's a Hall of Fame fighter. Rounds 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, all could have been round of the year. But when you got two youthful Hall of Famers going at it, that makes for a great, significant fight. Pacquiao, KO 10.
That was the first fight against each other?
Yes. This was the second fight.
The second, that was number two. Got it. Okay, number 11.
Number 11, let's go back to Bobby Chacon, the TV darling, back to 1983.
Bobby Chacon?
Bobby Chacon. Now, I'm not talking about great fights. I'm talking about great fights.
All right, go ahead.
Great fighters, we'd have been talking about Mayweather, but way before
that. No, go ahead. Number 11, Bobby Chacon, go ahead.
Well, you don't interrupt me. I'm trying to educate you in the audience. Bobby Chacon, 12-round decision. Cornelius Boza Edwards, 1983. Now, he had already defeated the Bazooka. It was an epic encounter. Now, Chacon is now the WBC champ. His number one challenger is an African from Uganda.
Cornelius Boza Edwards from?
Uganda.
Uganda. Now, how close is that close to Cameroon?
They're both in Africa. Close enough. So, Edwards is down in each of the first two rounds. So you think that Bobby Chacon is gonna spark him out. But Chacon gets cut, and he's down in the third. So you got Edwards down in the first two, Chacon down in the third. By mid-fight, Chacon is cut over both eyes, bleeding from the nose, and in front of him is this African punching machine named Cornelius Boza Edwards, and the doctors threaten to stop this fight after six. But Chacon keeps fighting on, and you should just watch Boza Edwards' trunks. They're just blood red with Chacon's blood. The fight ends the championship rounds. Chacon starts coming back, and he's in the lead, but the African's legs start going in the 11th. Chacon drops him in the 12th.
Were you at that boxing match, or were you training during that time?
This was 83, so I was still fighting, but I scored this fight 113-112 for the African. Maybe I was slanted a little bit, but I thought Cornelius edged him out, but Chacon got the unanimous nod. You can't really argue it because to fight through from round 6 to 15, that was something special. This was the Ring Magazine Fight of the Year in 83.
So you never met Boza Edwards?
No.
Okay. All right, how about number 10? What we got there, Baba Zande?
Okay, this one might have some debate to it as well. But number 10, we see the greatest.
Oh, we finally, man, I want to be
number 10, Joe Frazier, unanimous decision over Muhammad Ali. Now, let me tell you why. As a fight, it wasn't the sustained two-way action, but as an event, there was no greater event in boxing history. Two undefeated warriors, future Hall of Famers, both in their primes, kinda. Ali had given up some of his prime because of his stand on the draft. Respect to the great one. But both had legitimate claims to be the heavyweight champion. The announcers were really, if you watch this fight, they were really pro Frazier. I don't even think we were watching the same fight, but I thought the early rounds clearly belonged to Ali. Frazier's getting battered, but he doesn't appear tight. He keeps coming forward and gets the fight. He stuns Ali in the sixth. Ali slows down. Frazier keeps coming. He's relentless. Ali's finding it difficult to stay off the ropes where Frazier has the advantage. So I think Frazier gets a 10-8 round in the 11th. Ali's knocked down in the 15th for the first time. Frazier's rampaging. Frazier won a unanimous decision victory, but I'm not sure why it wasn't more controversial. Personally, I scored the fight 143-139 for Ali. I didn't think Frazier won more than four or five rounds myself. I think that there's obvious bias against Ali, but still it was the Ring Magazine Fight of the Year in 1971. The 11th round was crazy. The number 10 fight of the last 50 years.
Okay, number nine.
Number nine. A little bit more recent, from 1987. The Marvelous One loses a split decision to Sugar Ray Leonard in 1987. It was one of those electrifying moments in the history of boxing. Marvin Hagler, probably one of the three greatest middleweights of all time. He went into this meeting with Sugar Ray Leonard, undefeated in 11 years. Leonard was the Olympic undisputed welterweight champion, supreme skills, but hadn't fought in 3 or 4 years. Pre-fight, Leonard got everything the way he wanted, took the fight in his favor in return for the smaller purse. Wise, which is a 22-foot ring, which would come out to be significant. The gloves he wanted. And knowing he could probably not go 15, even though 15 was still on the table, he got Hager to agree to a 12-round distance. I believe it's a fight Marvin should have won, but he was determined to beat Red his own game. Don't know why, but he threw away the first third of the fight by trying to box. When he started stalking, he had more success. He snapped out of his coma, turned southpaw, cut Leonard off, took control in the middle rounds, but Sugar Ray ends up with the split decision. I've never seen a fighter earn a victory over a respected champion like Hagler by running and showboating and making a miss, but I think the storyline won Sugar Ray the fight. Ring Magazine Fight of the Year 1987.
Yeah. Fresh food for the fresh body. What goes in fresh comes out healthy. Be sure to visit your local farmers market, and trust me, you'll feel much better.
Hi, this is Terry from Amethyst Moon. We'd like to tell you we're still here and open for business. We're located at 8329 La Mesa Boulevard in La Mesa Village. We have some new store hours temporarily from 11 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday, and we hope to see you soon.
The Burrito Radio Show brings you a new program titled Boxing is Life, brought to you by the fictional character Baba Zande, for entertainment purposes only.
Number eight,
we have two fighters that are maybe probably not as well known to the casual fan, but fight fans out there will know who I'm talking about when I talk about Wilfredo Gomez and Lupe Pintor back in 1982. Gomez is the champion. Look him up, Google him, Wikipedia, whatever. One of the hardest punchers in boxing history, making his 18th defense. But Pintor takes his best shots. But by the end of round three, it's Gomez's eye that swells. Gomez has Pintor in trouble. The challenger keeps coming. Pintor is slightly ahead into the championship rounds, and each is determined to impose his will on the other. But Pintor is the one who cracks. His legs are gone in the 12th. He still finishes the round strong, but 13, 14, and 15 belong to the champ. Pintor goes down twice in the 15th. Fight of the decade, by Ring Magazine.
So you rely on Ring Magazine a lot.
Well, Ring Magazine, you can start there, but a lot of my fights are, some of the fights are Ring Magazine recognized, some are not.
How many fights you get in as a kid? You get into a lot of fights, right? How many fights?
Say that again.
How many fights did you, when you were a kid, how many fights did you get in? Like, did you get like a lot of fights?
Yes. One son, lost son.
I got you. Okay, number seven, Baba Zande. Number seven, what do we have?
Number seven is tragic. It's from 1995. It's the Dark Destroyer, Nigel Benn versus Gerald McClellan. Gerald McClellan is the next best thing in boxing in 1995. And Benn looks out of the fight. He's demolished in the first minute of round one, but he comes back in two, and by the third, he's got the fight going his way. So, you know, Benn is a bull. McClellan is boxing. It's an all-out slugfest. They both go back and forth. Benn manages to set the agenda, but McClellan, in the ninth, he gets smashed. Benn smashes McClellan in the eighth to devastating effect, but it's his last stand, because in the ninth, he gets crushed, and it's in the 10th. And you can see in the aftermath, McClellan starts to blink. And you don't know what that is, But we find out later that it's the brain damage that he inflicted, that was inflicted on him. In the fight, after all this, he appears to surrender on one knee. And, you know, you can't figure that out. But when he collapses and he ends up permanently blind, 80% deaf, wheelchair bound, he has no memory of ever being one of the toughest men alive and in this fight. And Ben has changed forever as well. He later attempts suicide as a result of this fight before he finds Christianity. So rounds 2, 3, 6, 7, and 8, if you can watch it, if you can take the fact that after this is Gerald McClellan's last shot at life, really, because even to this day, he's broke, cared for by his siblings. It's really tragic, but it's a fantastic fight.
Boxing is life?
Boxing is life.
Okay, number six.
Number six, 2005. Rest in peace, Diego Corrales, with the 10th round TKO over Jose Luis Castillo. Now, I don't know if these fighters are going to end up in the Hall of Fame, but man, what a fight. Corrales has the height advantage and reach advantage, but he refuses to box from the outside. He wants to wage war on the inside with the Mexican fighter. And they turn this fight into a phone booth war. And it's intense, it's methodical, and it's brutal. They're each landing thunder shots. Castillo is cut. Corrales' eyes are turning into slits. The 10th is incredible. Corrales finally goes down, and he falls once in the first minute. He falls again in the first minute. He spits out his mouthpiece, and you think he's done from the brink of defeat. He gets up, stuns Castillo, drills him against the ropes, and forces the referee to stop the fight. 2, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Sixth best fight of the past 50 years, and yes, Ring Magazine Fight of the Year in 2005.
Which fight was that? That was number two.
That was the first fight.
That was the first fight. That was the first one. Okay, number five. What do we have? Number five.
To the top five. The best five fights of the past 50 years. Number five. Two Hall of Fame in their prime. A flashy boxer versus the fearsome puncher. Two future Hall of Famers. Sugar Ray Leonard. Thomas Hearns. 1981. Hearns is undefeated. Leonard has avenged his lone defeat. So Hearns takes the opposite than what people think. He's not the bomber. He jabs, boxes, dominates. Leonard picks it up, wobbles Hearns in the sixth, and they switch roles. Now Leonard is the stalker and Hearns is the boxer. Hearns tires, so he resumes to effectively box. And after 12, Leonard appears to need to KO to win, or at least to dominate, because Hearns has come back. So the first part of the 13th, Hearns is boxing brilliantly, and then he gets drilled by a Leonard right hand, and Leonard pounds him against the ropes. Leonard comes back again, clips him in the 14th, and the resulting Leonard swarm results in a stoppage with Hearns out on his feet. Now, assuming that the last round was 10-8, I had to fight exactly 132-132 at the time of the stoppage, the 15th round would have called it, but the result, Leonard, Sugar Ray Leonard, TKO 14, Thomas Hearns, 1981, Ring Magazine Fight of the Year 81. Wish that would have been a 15th round, but Hearns couldn't contend.
You think they stopped it too soon? A lot of people think.
I think that they should have let the fight go. This fight was so huge. With him still on his feet, they should have, I know he was sagging against the ropes, with the corner, with him not protesting, the corner not throwing in the towel, they should have let it go 15. There's one more round to go.
Okay, so check this out, Baba Zande. We're going to take a short pause for a break, and we're going to come back with your top four right after these messages.
Top four.
And remember, it's still one motion. So ride the wave of life. To be one has a game called None is Perfect Billiards. It is a game based on points, stroke play, pretty much. You get to find out what your score would be in comparison to the pros. It's one of the better games that's out there, and it's new and fresh for the 21st century. If you'd like to be on the players list or participate in one of the games or videos, contact None is Perfect Billiards at nipbilliards@gmail.com. Get on the players list and take part in the fun today.
The Burrito Radio Show brings you a new program titled Boxing is Life, brought to you by the fictional character Babazande, for entertainment purposes only.
Fresh food for the fresh body. What goes in fresh comes out healthy. Be sure to visit your local farmer's market, and trust me, you'll feel much better. Okay, we're in our final top four. Babazande out here giving us top 20. Before we actually go through the top four, I want to give a review of his top 20 fights real quick. He has at number 20, Roberto Duran versus Iran Barkley. Number 19, he has Marvelous Marvin Hagler versus Tommy Hearns. Number 18, he has Larry Holmes versus Ken Norton. That was in 1978. Number 17, he has, you said Muhammad, what's the guy's name again?
Matthew Saad Muhammad,
1977 versus Johnson. What was that guy's name?
Marvin Johnson.
Marvin Johnson, is he in the Hall of Fame?
He's not in the Hall of Fame, but great fighter.
Nice. Number 16, you said Juan Manuel Vasquez? No, you said?
Israel Vasquez.
Israel Vasquez versus Rafael Marquez. That was in 2008.
Third fight.
Number 15, you have Bobby Chacon versus Bazooka.
Limon.
Bazooka who?
Limon.
Hey, it's your list, not my list. It's your list. 1982. Number 14, he has Evander Holyfield versus Dwight.
Dwight Muhammad Quaye.
Then he has Holyfield again versus Riddick Bowe. Then he has Manny Pacquiao versus Eric Morales. Then he has Bobby Chacon versus Boza Edwards.
Cornelius Boza Edwards from Uganda.
Uganda, but you never met him.
No.
Number 10, he has Smoking Joe Frazier versus the greatest Muhammad Ali. Number 9, he has Hagler again versus Sugar Ray Leonard. And he has number 8, he has, Wilfredo Gomez?
Wilfredo Gomez.
Versus Pinto or something?
Lupe Pinto.
Lupe, where's Lupe Pinto from?
Mexico.
Mexico, got it.
Okay, Google that fight and watch it, and you'll know what I'm talking about. You won't forget his name again.
Number 7, he has Nigel Benn, 1995, versus Gerald McKellen. That was the tragic fight of somebody actually going brain something. Number 6, he has Diego Corrales, right?
Yes.
Versus
Jose Luis Castillo.
Jose Luis Castillo. And number 5 is when you have Hearns versus Leonard, 1981.
Correct.
People say that fight shouldn't have been stopped. Okay, so now we have the top 4 fights on Babazande's list. The fight expert for the Burrito Radio Show. Okay, Babazande. Number four.
Again, this is two Hall of Famers going at it in their youth. Two Hall of Famers that hate each other. Eric Morales, Marco Antonio Barrera, the year 2000. Morales making the ninth defense against the person he hates. Barrera comes out aggressively. Morales weathers the early assault. Both are intent on the other's destruction. Sometimes it's just all-out war. There's no pretense of defense. But again, Ring Magazine Fight of the Year. I scored this fight 116-11 for Barrera, but Morales gets the decision, split decision over Marco Antonio Barrera in the year 2000. That's number 4.
Okay, number 3.
Number 3. Let's go back to the greatest. The Thriller in Manila. Ali versus his bitter rival, Joe Frazier, 1975. Ali's the champion. He looks good. Frazier stays low, but Ali is winning. But Frazier rocks Ali in the fifth and sixth and starts to come back, and then they start to go. Ali rallies in the eighth after being punched against the ropes. The championship rounds are a test of will. Frazier with hard shots to the body. Ali dancing along after fighting him off. Frazier begins to show the wear in the 12th. Ali punishes Frazier the 13th and 14th. And Frazier refuses to let him come out for the 15th, although Ali said he was getting ready to quit too. At the time of the stoppage, Ali scored 137-130 for Ali. Ring Magazine Fight of the Year 1975. Number three fight of all time, Ali, TKO, Frazier, 1975, Thriller in Manila.
So, this is like I said, all these fights are either from highlights you saw or you actually saw them when they actually happened.
I either saw the fight, some of the Ali, that fight wasn't on TV back then. It would have been on the radio, but I have this fight. All these fights I have in my collection. So I've seen the fight numerous times.
Okay. Number two, numero dos.
Number two. Let's go back to the greatest. Muhammad Ali. Ken Shire Zaire, 1974. George Foreman, thought to be unbeatable, killed Frazier in two rounds. Ali's attempted to become the second man ever to regain the heavyweight title against a monster. George Foreman is 40-0 with 37 KOs. He hadn't been more than two rounds in 4 years. But Ali, with a brilliant strategy, exciting rounds, 1, 2, 3, and 5, it's surprising how Ali dominates and outclasses Frazier. The end finally comes in the eighth. Ali drops and stops the previously undefeated champion. This shocking upset may have been Ali's finest hour. I'm not sure he ever looked better. Fight of the year 1974. Second best fight of the last 50 years. Ali KO8, George Foreman, 1970.
Okay, folks. We're down to number one. Number Babazande, number one. What's your top fight on your list? Of all the stats you keep.
The top fight. Again, two of history's greatest battling in their primes. This was from 1980. Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran. Duran is aggressive but wild. Leonard comes out flat footed. Duran threw out crazy insults to Sugar Ray, to his wife and to his manhood. So Sugar came out flat footed, determined to beat up Duran. But Duran alternates between bullying Leonard, then landing hard shots on the way in. It's a seesaw battle. It goes back and forth. It's brutal and physical. It's extremely tough. A case to be made for either fighter. I had a dead even after 14. I scored the fight 143-142 for Sugar Ray, but the majority decision went to Duran by a slim margin. You can't really argue the decision. It's Leonard's first loss, and he would avenge it 5 years later by forcing Duran into the famous No Mas fight. But with rounds, all the rounds that were crazy, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7, best fight of the past 50 years, considering everything. Roberto Duran, majority decision, Sugar Ray Leonard, 1980.
Well, Babazande, I'm going to say you have a lot to say. You definitely have a lot to say. We're going to let the fight fans decide and see what kind of feedback we get. Personally, I have some fights on there that might make your list. One being John the Beast Mugabe versus Hagler, but I don't want to talk about it. If anything, I really appreciate you coming on the show, starting this new program, Boxing is Life, right?
Boxing is Life.
We're going to talk more about Boxing is Life on another episode with the Burrito Radio Show. In the meantime, folks, you are listening to Babazande and 2B1 Energy on the Burrito Radio Show. We'll see you next time. We're talking Boxing is Life. Respect on the oneness of Yahweh.